I can tell these kids love their grandmas. Because they can't really leave without saying, Grandma, Grandma, Grandma. We're glad that you're in the Lord's house today. And those of you visiting with us want you to know that you're welcome. And we pray that the Lord just blesses you as you visit with us. We've got a few folks that are out today finishing up summer vacations. But we're glad you're here. And most of all, we're glad that the Lord's here. Amen. Because, you know, when the Lord's here, that makes all the difference. We want to welcome him. We're glad that he's here. And you read the note a while ago from Keith Dixon. When I was pastor in Siler City, Keith went to a church, a neighboring church. It's sort of our rivals up on the hill, you know, about 2 miles. And we played a lot of softball against one another. Of course, now we're both too old to play softball. It's only been a long time. May we pray. Father, we thank you for that we can come into your presence this morning. Thank you for Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Thank you that he did die on that old rugged cross that gives us eternal life. But thank you more than that, that he rose again and that he's alive. That he lives in our hearts, because at one point in our life we came to accept him as our personal Lord and Savior. We thank you for his presence here in this service this morning. We pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts. We pray that we'd have eyes to see, ears to hear. We pray that you'll speak through your word. And Father, may there be words of encouragement, instruction, drawing us closer to you and closer to one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you want to be turning in your Bibles to the book of Jonah, that's not where we'll stay, but we'll start. Anybody remember an old spiritual that says, nobody knows the trouble I've seen, nobody knows but Jesus? One of the things that we struggle with is why do bad things happen to good people? If we started talking about troubles and trials, we could start on one row and go up and down the row, and every one of us would start talking about troubles and trials and difficulties that we've encountered in our life, or that we're presently encountering, or that we anticipate encountering in the days ahead. And you know, some folks get angry at God and say, you know, I'm such a good person. Why did this happen to me? Or this other person in my family or my friend was such a good person. Why did this happen to them? But you know, we live in a cursed world. God created a perfect world, a world without sin, without disease, with nothing wrong with it. And then Satan got involved and Adam and Eve messed up. And Romans tells us that even now the whole creation is groaning, waiting for the redemption. We live in a cursed world. But this morning I want us to look at some storms that are in the Bible and use those as a way to thinking about the trials and tribulations that you and I go through. If you look in the book of Jonah, you know the story. Verse 1 of chapter 1, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with him into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. God gave Jonah an assignment. As a prophet, go over to Nineveh, preach about their need for repentance, preach about their need for turning to Jehovah God, preach about their need for eternal things. Jonah didn't want to go. Jonah went down, bought a ticket, to go in the opposite direction. Notice it said there twice, he went from the presence of God. He fled from the presence of God. He turned his back on the presence of God. How sad it is when a person turns their back on the presence of God. And you know the story. The great storm. Jonah's down in the hold or the belly of the ship asleep. And they wake him up and said, hey man, we're going to drown. We're going to die. What's going on? Jonah says, I messed up. It's my fault. Throw me overboard. And of course, when they did, the sea calmed down. You know, one of the reasons sometimes we get in troubles in life is we turn our back on God. God has an assignment for us. God has a plan for us. Of course, the first part of his plan is that we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, so that we might come to a personal relationship with him that takes us to heaven. And there are hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people today that have felt the tug of the Holy Spirit on their hearts and said no. And they wonder, why the mess in my life? I've said this before, but you know, one of the things that have troubled me as a pastor, staying a long time in each of the churches. And just now, you know, I'm thinking about a guy that used to sit right in the back over here on the left. And when I first started to that particular church, he'd stand there and hold on to the pew to keep from making a decision for Christ. A dozen years later, when I left, he could stand back there and it didn't make any difference. Since then he's died. I wondered, where did he spend eternity? Where is he going to spend eternity? When we turn our back upon God, we mess up. And trouble can come. And you know, whenever troubles come, we need to stop and say, Lord, am I in this trouble because of disobedience? Am I in this storm in my life because of disobedience? But you know, God's so good. God is so good. God is so loving. When you look at the last verse of chapter 1, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. In the middle of his rebellion, God made preparation for his deliverance. Isn't that awesome? That's so awesome that God, and of course, what do we read in Romans? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were sinners, God made preparation. And it's a wonderful thing that even if we are in rebellion, even if we have turned our back on God, God has a way for us to come back. You know, the devil will whisper in your ear, too late, buddy, you messed up. God will never take you back. Lie, lie, lie. Oh, that beautiful parable that Jesus told. The prodigal son. And the father that saw the son coming ran and hugged him. Didn't matter that his son smelled like the pig pen. And if you've never been around lots of hogs like I have, it's not pleasant. It is not pleasant. The son looked bad, he smelled bad, but his daddy loved him and welcomed him home. Aren't you glad for a God who loves us so much? That even when we mess up, He's wanting us to come home, and he prepares a way for us to come home. If you're here this morning and you're in some kind of rebellion against God, don't believe the devil's lie. Run back to the Father and find yourself loved. Find yourself loved. Let's look at another storm. Go with me to the book of Acts. Book of Acts. And we'll be in chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. And you remember this story. Paul's been arrested. He's appealed to Caesar. And he's on his way to Rome. And when you get to Acts chapter 27, verse 27, verse 9... Acts 27, verse 9. Now when much time was spent, when sailing was now dangerous, because of the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And you know, they left and ran into a hurricane. Or something similar. Paul says, I know we're not supposed to go in this storm. But suddenly Paul finds himself in the midst of a storm. And because he's a prisoner, he's helpless. You know, many times we end up with a storm, a trouble. And it's not our fault. If you were molested as a child, it's not your fault. If you were abandoned as a husband or a wife, and you were trying your best, it's not your fault. Sometimes in work situations, it's not your fault. When we moved to Oklahoma, my wife taught school in a nice school, nice principal, and was pretty much enjoying it. And then they came in one year about Labor Day and said, hey, we need to move you to a different school because of the population. That school's got too many kids and not enough teachers. We're going to move you over there. And so, nothing she could do but move. She ended up with a principal that I don't know had it in for her and another older teacher. And I could spend 3 or 4 sermons telling y'all the nasty things the principal did to these two ladies. I mean, it's incredible. It wasn't her fault. She was just doing what she was being told by the school board, the school administration. It was awful. Finally, I just told her, I said, just quit. You don't have to put up with this. And she sits there this morning, she looks at least 10, maybe 20 years younger than she did the day she walked out of that school. It's amazing. Sometimes you end up in problems and troubles, and it's not your fault. Now, the devil sometimes tries to make it out like your fault because he's your enemy, but it's not your fault. There are things and times that we run into troubles, and it's because of somebody else. Somebody else's issues, somebody else's hostility, somebody else's ignorance, somebody else's perversion. It's not your fault. And we need to realize that. But again, look at the loving grace of God. After about 2 weeks of back and forth across the Mediterranean in that hurricane, that ship, and they threw everything overboard and looked like it was going to crash. And the scripture says that Paul came up on deck and said, hey guys, I told you you shouldn't go. And I just wonder what they thought. Paul says, I told you, you ought to listen to me. We hate people that do that to us, don't we? Told you so. But Paul says, listen, we're all going to be safe. Tonight, while I was resting, my God sent an angel to tell me everything's going to be all right. And folks, it is amazing how God can take situations that are not our fault, that are bad things that have happened to us, and turn them around for our blessing and for our glory and for His glory. When I was thinking about this week, I thought about the fellow I room with in seminary. Now, when I first went to seminary, I was in the men's dorm. And back then, you know, I don't know how it is now. Class is Tuesday through Friday. And a lot of guys that lived, you know, even they pastored a church and were married, they came in on Tuesday morning and stayed in the dorm Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, and went back to their families on Friday in their churches. And I roomed with a guy named Jim. Jim was about 12, 15 years older than me. But we just bonded in some special ways. Jim had me to come up in 1980 to preach a revival for him in Virginia. Had a great time. The last day we out visiting and he pulled over. Now remember, he'd been married a lot longer than I had. He was already married when we were rooming together and I was not married. So, you know, he was a lot older, more experienced. The last day we were out in this revival, he pulled over. He said, I want to talk to you. And he wanted me to counsel him about his marriage. I'm thinking, man, I'll give you the best advice I've got. I came on back, moved to Prospect, and you know, sort of lost touch with Jim. After several years, and it's probably 6 or 8 years, I picked up the phone and called. The line's dead, you know, number discontinued. I called around, finally found a number for Jim and went to talking to Jim, and the story slowly came out. After I was there, his wife had left him. She took at least $100,000 of money that she could not account for, and there's a whole bunch of other crazy stuff. Jim tried counseling. She wouldn't counsel. Divorce. He lost his church. A lot of bad things happened. He went down to a college and went on the maintenance team for the college. But in the meantime, after that, Jim got remarried. He and his second wife had two little boys. And before we hung up, Jim says, I wish you'd left sooner. You know, those two boys and that second wife were a blessing to Jim that first wife never was. I preached a revival for him down in Windsor, down close to Williamston, East Carolina, way down on that end of when we were rooming together in '67, I think it was. She was weird then. You know, it wasn't Jim's fault. Jim was one of those good salt of the earth guys. She was just weird. The storm that Jim went through was not of his making. But God blessed the last years of Jim's life in a tremendous way. God can take the messes that others bring into our lives and bless us. One other, go back with me to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 4. Verse 35, and the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, Jesus, let us pass over into the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And it was he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Sometimes you're in a storm because you're exactly in the center of the will of God for your life. You see, when you get in the will of God for your life, it's like the devil wants to paint a bullseye on your back because he would love to derail you in any way he possibly can. You think about what Paul wrote when he said, because of all the revelations there was given to me, a minister of Satan. Satan sent a demon to harass Paul everywhere he went. He said, it's a minister of Satan to harass Paul everywhere he went. And just because you're going through a storm does not mean that you're out of the will of God. It may mean you're right in the center of the will of God. Because the devil wants nothing more than to mess you up and get you off track. Get you to quit serving God. Quit doing what you're doing. It was interesting. I don't know whether you know this church did Faith or not, but Faith was a witnessing program that Southern Baptists had for a number of years. Maybe some churches still use it. Good program. And we did that in the church up in the mountains. But it was amazing that every semester, somebody on that team got attacked. The lady on there that was the best soul winner, other than my wife, did a Stacy and a Tamara had broken arm. I mean, you know, and couldn't come. Another person, you know, got a messed up knee. It was just something. Every semester, Satan tried to attack that team so that we didn't go out and knock on doors and try to win people to Jesus. They were in the will of God. They were in the center of the will of God. But Satan attacked. And you can be sure that he will attack you if you try to follow the Lord Jesus. Amen. But you know the good thing about it? They had Jesus in the boat. And you remember there was another storm that Satan tried to destroy them. And Jesus came walking on the water to the boat. Jesus didn't leave them out there by themselves, all alone, no hope, no help. Jesus was with them. I think it's interesting that they took a while before they woke Jesus up. You know, I've got some of that, me do it myself. I'll handle this. It's amazing the number of, over the years, the number of people come to me and say, well, I don't want to bother the Lord with that. That's my problem. I don't want to bother the Lord with that. Hey, if it's big enough to bother you, it's big enough to take to the Lord. And if it's big enough to bother you, he cares. Amen. Don't wait so long to wake him up and say, hey, Lord, I'm in this mess. Satan's attacking me. And like Paul, we'll find his grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. There are some people that say, if you get saved, you won't have any problems. Wrong. There's some people that think if you get filled with the Holy Spirit, no problems. Wrong. The only way you're going to ever get out of problems is die and go to heaven. The question is, are we in the will of God? Are we using the resources that God would give us? And are we overwhelmed by the love of Jesus? Overwhelmed by the love of Jesus. How did David put it? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise the Lord. We live in a cursed world, but we've got a good God, a loving Savior who wants to wrap his arms around you, meet every need that you have. This morning, as we have the time of invitation, if you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's the greatest thing you'll ever do, greatest decision you'll ever make. If you need to come to the altar and pray about some situation you're facing, or maybe some situation someone you love is facing, if you want to share something with me, we welcome you to come.